question then is, why get cancer in one portion of the body as opposed to another one? How can we tell or predict that that internal irritation is going to make a cancer erupt in a specific portion of the body? Now, other people have called up and hinted around what I'm trying to say with this program, and in terms of psychological set or behavior patterns of individuals, but it's something maybe a little more general than that that I'm talking about. The breast and the genitals for the woman take on two specific roles. And when an individual has internal irritation, the expression of that irritation, if the irritation is strong enough and submerged enough, is through a cancer. In the woman, if it's sexually oriented, the expression will be through the sexual part, through the genitalia, and it will erupt itself as a form of cancer. Its malignancy and its tendency to metastasize will be determined by the strength of the submerged emotion. Not just emotion, I'm sorry, that's not valuable enough. The strength of the submerged set of the individual.
Thank you for calling. I am going to cut you off. Our phone board is lit up. And
is another place, another site where that occurs. And I'm sorry if it's not relevant enough to what you're saying.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
BAI, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, I'd like to know if the size of the breast seems to have anything to do with the frequency of developing breast cancer.
Look, as far as we know, the size has nothing to do with it. We have carried this out in many occasions. Small breasts are just as prone to cancer as large ones. But what does happen is in large breasts, the cancer is very often not detected as early as in the small breast, because it's more easily felt in the small breast.
Right.
Large-breasted women should be particularly careful to have thorough examination.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. The number here at WBAI is 371-5200. And we'll take the next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering about cancer of the uterus, because no one's talked about that, and what the incidence is of and treatment and things.
The question was cancer of the uterus. We haven't really touched on that subject, and she wanted to know what the incidence was and if anyone would care to comment on that. Unfortunately, we don't have a specialist here.
There's considerably more risk of a woman getting into trouble with her breast than with her uterus. And the troubles with the uterus can be evaluated very much with pap smears and other ways that gynecologists have, and very effective ways of finding cancers in this part of the body at an early stage, and this should be done.
Might I make a comment here?
Sure.
I understand that the correct technique for discovering cancer of the uterus is through an endometrial
examination,
or taking a biopsy from the endometrium.
Let's break this down into simple words. That means scraping cells off of...
from the uterus itself, which is a different technique from the pap smear. The pap smear will only go up to the cervix and take cells from that area, whereas going into the womb itself is something else and requires a different instrumentation. And it is a painful, slightly painful procedure. You have a little sharp feeling of pain when it's done, but it's very important for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the American Cancer Society literature has not quite made that clear in some of its advertising, particularly what we had at the Mayo meeting when we had our conference, if you remember. Dr. Pierce brought this point up.
Yeah.
But there is a distinction. They're two separate things.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for calling. We'll take our next call. BAI, you're on the air.
Oh, I had a mastectomy about 7 months ago, and I went to the Cleveland Clinic by choice, but this means I have no supervision here. I was wondering, where can I go for the most dependable mammography in this area for the remaining breast? My family doctor did not know where to send me.
Dr. Strax?
The best thing for you to do is to call up the American Cancer Society. I'm sure they'll refer you a proper place.
I see. And also, another question. They use urography for diagnosis in Cleveland. You haven't discussed this.
Urography is the same as mammography.
Oh,
it only uses a paper instead of a film.
Xerography.
In some parts of this country, radiologists like urography. Other places, they prefer film.
Yes.
It doesn't matter which one you have, so long as it's done well.
Right.
The phone number of the American Cancer Society is 586-8700, and that's here in the city, so it's area code 212.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, you mentioned earlier that the childbirth, and especially childbirth by a young woman, in some way protects her against breast cancer. I heard somewhere that it also seems to have some effect on uterine cancer as well. Could you discuss it?
I don't know that an early birth, that is, a birth when a woman is young, has any effect on uterine cancer one way or the other. What does seem to happen is that cancer of the cervix is more common in younger people, as we see it, than breast cancer. Breast cancer is very unusual. And cervical cancer, see, have some relationship with promiscuity and things like that. But the causes for the two conditions are very different. And the having a child at an early age is helpful for breast cancer and has nothing to do with cervical cancer.
Have they discerned any real reason why this is so, or is it just...
We think it has something to do with this hormone business in the woman that we were talking about that is still rather indefinite. We hope to get information further eventually.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Doctor, would you care to comment on the incidence of breast cancer in women as regards the age of first menarche? Is there a relationship?
There is a relationship between the length of time that a woman menstruates. If she starts her periods early and ends them late, her risk for breast cancer is twice or maybe three times as great as that in a woman who starts late and ends early. A woman who stays pregnant for many years or has many children has less risk for getting a breast cancer because she has fewer menstrual periods. So the number of menstrual periods has some relationship with the development of breast cancer.
Wow. I'm sorry, Margo had a comment, and I didn't hear.
Could
what
you
she
explain
said.
That again, just a little slower? I'm just really bowled over by that. Could you explain?
Well, what does happen is that nature expects a woman to get pregnant, and a period is a sign of disappointment, as it were, and the breast is built up hoping that pregnancy will occur, very minutely, of course, and that buildup then has to be torn down again when the period occurs. So there is, if perhaps some kind of an irritation or some changes that are going on connected with each period, those changes may have something to do over a long period of time with the onset or the development of breast cancer in some way. And so that if a woman has many periods, she'd be more likely, apparently, she is more likely to develop a cancer of the breast. Perhaps it's related to whatever irritations do occur with periods. But this does not at all mean that every woman who starts her periods early and ends them late is going to get a breast cancer, not by a long shot. Breast cancer is not a common disease. But it's a little bit more common in those women who have large numbers of periods. We think that that's also the reason why women who have many children, such women are less likely to get breast cancer because they've had fewer periods.
We'll take the next question. BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, my mother was given silvestrol when she was pregnant with me, and I've heard that this is related to a higher incidence of a certain type of vaginal cancer in the daughters. I was wondering if you could discuss that and also whether it's related to a higher incidence of any other type of cancer.
No, the relationship seems to be with cancer of the vagina. And it's a very small relationship. And most women who receive silvestrol during their pregnancy have daughters who never, never get any cancer of the vagina. Mm-hmm. But cancer of the vagina is an unusual cancer in the first place, and the fact that a few women have developed some changes in their vagina that would be suspicious means that all women who know that their mothers took silvestrol should indeed be under the observation of a gynecologist, mm-hmm. and that's about all that's necessary.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering what countries there was a low incidence of breast cancer.
What?
Mentioned before.
The question was, in what countries is there a low incidence of breast cancer?
In the Orient. And Japanese women and Chinese women have 1/6 as much breast cancer as we have in this country.
Can you think of any reason for that?
That's something that Mr. Klauberg is talking about. He thinks it has something to do with the diet. And he's probably right, for all we know.
Not funny.
What is interesting, though, is that when a Japanese woman moves to Hawaii, her rate for getting breast cancer remains the same as in Japan. But when she has a daughter, her daughter has a higher risk for getting breast cancer, and her granddaughter has the same risk as a Caucasian woman.
So that would indicate to me that it's not just a question of diet, but diet at an early age.
We don't know. There's something that a Japanese woman does that's correct, as far as breast cancer is concerned.
In terms of the early periods and the late periods, would you consider a late period like starting at around 13? Or would you consider an early period like starting around...
Today, many women start at the age of 10 or 11.
Yeah.
13 is about average. When we say late, we mean we're girls who start around 17 or 18.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. Is the risk of developing cancer of the cervix greater if the woman uses a diaphragm and if she has intercourse with a man who isn't circumcised? Because that would be more irritation.
No, as far as we know, the diaphragm is protective in some ways, and there is no greater risk at all of getting cancer if you use a diaphragm.
But
as far as the male is concerned, it is true that women who relate to men who have been circumcised have less cancer of the cervix than women who relate to men who are not circumcised.
But the diaphragm isn't fixed, and doesn't that, it's floating most of the time, isn't it?
Well, it's not the diaphragm that has any relationship to the irritation that causes cervical cancer.
Oh.
It's the male's circumcision that has a relationship.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. BAI, you're on the air. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'd like to know if what the doctor said before implies that a woman who has no children at all runs an even greater, relatively great risk of breast cancer.
There is no such thing as a great risk. A woman who hasn't had any children has a little higher risk than the woman who's had a couple of children. We do say that women who haven't had children are at higher risk, but that risk is only maybe twice as great as that of a woman who's had several children.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. BAI, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to know, in relating to the question before, in fibrocystic disease, what are the conditions which contribute to breast cancer? I've been diagnosed as having fibrocystic disease and asked to come back every 6 months for a checkup and told I was in a high-risk group and not given any further explanation, even though I've asked many questions about it. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, you have a perfectly good question, and your basic question that's most important to me is that you had a lot of questions that weren't answered. I think that's terrible. Your question should have been answered, and then you wouldn't be as much in the dark as you are now. And I would suggest that you try to get answers to your questions, because whatever situation exists with you is an individual situation that I couldn't even begin to talk about on the air without seeing you. I think that's something you should take up with your physician. As I told you, in general, many physicians make this diagnosis. Many women are frightened, and I think a good deal of it is unnecessary.
I would just like to add a very quiet right on to that. I think of all the problems we face in this society, the problem of not having a complete communication with a physician is one of the greatest. And we'll take another phone call. BAI, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. My question is, out of all the different kinds of cancer, is there more breast and cervical cancer in women than other kinds? Say, for instance, lung cancer in men. I mean, how do those two kinds of figures compare?
Yeah, there is more cancer of the breast in the female than there is lung cancer in the male.
Uh-huh.
But the lung cancer in the male, unfortunately, is creeping up very well because of the smoking that we can't get them to stop.
Okay.
But in the woman, lung cancer is not nearly as important, but breast cancer remains as the most important one of all.
Cervical cancer?
Cervical cancer is not nearly as important as breast cancer.
Okay. The reason I ask is, I'm one of those women who, while I think myself intelligent, feel some resistance to going routinely for pap smears and checkups. And I wondered if part of it wasn't the feeling that I have that women are considered more diseased, and why don't I see more advertisements for men to go for chest
and lung x-rays. Why don't I see as many of those as I do for women who go, who should go for pap smears?
It's an excellent question, but the basic answer does not involve the fact that women are more diseased.
Uh-huh.
It involves the fact that we're dealing in the cervix and in the breast with cancers that we can detect in a curable stage. And that's why we urge women to have those examinations, because we can cure them. If we got to the point where we could find lung cancers in a curable stage on an x-ray,
uh-huh.
we would be pushing the men in that direction. But unfortunately, it doesn't work so well.
Oh, okay.
So women are ahead of us in that respect, that they have the two most important cancers that they have is something that we can detect in a curable stage.
Okay. See, part of this is based on the fact that in all the medical books I've ever read, when references are made to orchidectomies as opposed to mastectomies, there's tremendous amount of attention given to psychological aspects of what that will mean for a man, and yet I rarely read that in relation to a woman.
Very few men get into trouble that requires orchidectomy.
Yeah,
a great many women get into trouble with breasts that require
mastectomy. Huge amounts of space given to the psychological ramifications of this.
Well, I think you're perfectly right. The psychological ramifications are a little bit different, because orchidectomy is something that only the man knows about. But the mastectomy, unfortunately, is something that lots of other people know about.
Thank you for calling. We have just two very quick comments, because we're running out of time.
Viv, I just want to make one very quick comment to the women and all of the individuals in the audience who are smokers and who do wish to stop smoking. The American Health Foundation runs a free smoke cessation clinic, free, from 9 to 5, no rip-offs, at 489-8700. It's funded by the federal government and by the American Cancer Society, and it's available to all smokers. 489-8700.
My comment, do I have time?
Sure.
It had to do with the earlier discussion about women going for examinations. I think we at Cancer Care have been advised by our medical consultant, Dr. Grossi, that one of the difficulties is hanging on that word cancer. People don't want to know if they have cancer, and they're afraid to go and find out that they might have it. And I'm sure this is one of the things that we run into with the people that end up having it in many instances. At least that's what we have found.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason they don't want to find out is because they equate cancer with death.
Exactly.
This is not true. And when we talk about cancer of the breast, we should equate it with life as a normal kind of a life, because this is the way we can do it if we find it the right time.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Pam had one quick comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm what Dr. Strack said, that a lot of the questions that came in this evening were questions that we have a right and should definitely ask our doctors. We can insist that we get answers that we understand, and that we are part of that process of diagnosis, of explaining treatment and drugs and follow-up, so we understand what is going on with us.
I just wanted to support what Dr. Strack said, in that so many people now are going home having had cancer, and there are large programs now for rehabilitation of people who have had cancer. And this is a very exciting development in the whole cancer field, and a lot of institutions are working on this. And of course, this is where Cancer Care Incorporated and the American Cancer Society, they have programs to help with this. And it's a big development in cancer work that so many people are being readmitted back into society and are no longer being considered as non-people. They are now becoming people again, going back to work and so on. And there are whole areas of problems involved there that are now being dealt with.
Okay, I'd like to thank each of our guests and to ask them if they've got a phone number or something they would like to give so that our listeners who haven't been able to have their questions asked here can call someplace later on and find out. I'd like to thank Dr. Philip Strax. Do you have a phone number you'd like to?
No, I much prefer for them to write.
Do you have an address that you'd...
If they want to get some information from me personally, they can write to 1056 Fifth Avenue, New York City, 10028.
Or the Guttman Breast Diagnostic.
Guttman Breast Diagnostic is to be fine to write to, but please don't call.
Thank you. And Mary Overton of Cancer Care?
We'll invite calls, area code 212-679-5700. if you have advanced cancer or if someone in your family has advanced cancer and you want to talk to us about it. We will give you, try to be helpful.
And Richard Klarberg of the American Health Foundation, the Public Health Center.
489-8700, the American Health Foundation.
And Pam Booth of HealthRight Incorporated.
You can write 175 Fifth Avenue, New York City, 10010, or call us at 674-3660.
And Denise Dillon-Fuge of the now New York
Health
Committee.
I would like to suggest that the general public who's listening, if they want information on cancer or many leaflets, as much information which is available from the Department of Education of the American Cancer Society. And in New York, it would be the New York City Division, which is at 19 West 56th Street. And the telephone number there is 586-8700. They have a great deal of information for the general public and can be most helpful.
And of course, there is now New York, which is at 47 East 19th Street and is always interested in the concerns of women. I'm Viv Sutherland. I'd like to thank you for joining us on this program in a series of the myths and realities of cancer. This has been Women in Cancer, and we thank you for joining us.
WBAI New York.
That program was brought to you live with portions recorded over WBAI listener-supported radio in New York City. We're going to be carrying on other programs on the subject of prevention and cure of cancer and some of the politics involved with the attempts to gain both those things. And in a minute, we're going to be telling you about them. I'd just like to say myself first, my name is Mickey Waldman, that having listened to that program and having been mightily scared by it, that I hope we have other programs on the air like it, although psychologically, I guess many of us are disposed to think about other things first. This kind of programming is important, and particularly the aspects of it which don't often get discussed are important. As a woman, it made me feel better to know that that was on the air, and I was glad that it was on the air here, and I hope that more programs like this will be on.